Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. They used to be called weekend warriors, but in the wake of a series of overseas conflicts, that image is changing and rapidly for members of the National Guard. Long overseas deployments have taken members of the Guard to trouble spots all over the world and away from their families and employers for long periods of time. It's a challenging time to be a member of the Guard, and today we'll get an update. Finally today, our latest installment of our new series, 90 Mile View. But first up today, the National Guard in Kansas and Missouri. Joining us is the Adjutant General from Missouri. That's Major General Steve Danner. He's a former state senator from the Kansas City area and is now chairman of the National Guard Association of the United States. Major General Danner, so good to have you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. It's great to be here, and I appreciate the effort and looking into the Guard and bringing our message out to those that we serve.
Well, we're glad to do it. And from the Kansas side and the Kansas National Guard, the Adjutant General of the State of Kansas, Major General Lee Taffanelli. And General, nice to have you, too. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Steve. It's great to be here with you today, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here and share a little bit about our National Guard.
Well, General Taffanelli, let's start with you here. We haven't really talked about the Guard on this program for a while. Remind us what the Guard is and how does it differ from the reserves and those on active duty?
Well, Steve, the primary difference between the National Guard and the active duty or even the reserves is that on a National Guard side, we are part-time soldiers and airmen that serve our state and our nation. So we have a state mission, and that's to support local law enforcement, local civil authorities in the event of a disaster, and we serve the governor in his commander-in-chief role. And on the active duty side, their primary focus is on the overseas mission, and so that's primarily the big distinction is for the National Guard is at the local level, and not only do we serve our communities, but also in a time of war, as you've indicated, our National Guardsmen are called up to serve their nation as well.
I was going to say, General Danner, from the Missouri side, certainly the whole role of the National Guard has expanded and maybe even expanded dramatically in the last decade. Tell us about that.
Well, Steve, it sure has. We like to say now that the Missouri the sun never sets on the Missouri Guard. We have soldiers and airmen on every continent and every ocean. We just finished an engineer over the horizons training this last year in Central America. Panama is our state partner, so we have a permanent party there. Of course, we're always in Europe, Africa, Southwest Asia with in Afghanistan, Iraq, and those areas that we know of. But our Air Guard is also in Burma and Thailand and other places, Korea, Japan, in the near and far east. So it's a busy, busy time for the Guard because really about 40% of the active component, both Army and Air's requirements, comes out of the Guard and Reserve these days.
Well, what does it mean, General Taffanelli, that what does this portend for the Guard if the role is expanding to the extent that it is? Is it changing the culture of the Guard? Is it harder to recruit new members given the fact that overseas missions now are very much part and parcel for what you guys do on a regular basis now?
Well, Steve, certainly there's been a transformation since 9/11 for the National Guard. Prior to 9/11, it was viewed as a strategic force.
The weekend warrior idea.
To your terms, the weekend warrior term. But since 9/11, the National Guard's become much more of an operational force. And quite honestly, this nation can't exercise any of its operations or missions without really bringing in the National Guard to do that. And so we have a tremendous force now that is very operationally focused, and we certainly do it for far fewer dollars than our active duty counterpart. Mm. And in these tough fiscal times, it really makes sense to strengthen the National Guard, especially in light of the performance that the Guard has done over the last decade in support of not only our operations overseas, but here at home.
General Danner, has all that changed the culture of the Guard from your standpoint?
Well, Steve, absolutely. As General Taffanelli mentioned, prior to 9/11, We had a strategic focused guard where we really concentrated more on our state missions, helping out in, you know, floods, tornadoes,
right,
those things. Now we're really operational overseas. I mean, Missouri has 700 soldiers and airmen overseas as we speak today. And this time next year, because of deployments, we'll have close to 2,000 Missouri Guardsmen out. But let me say, I think as the culture has changed, here's what's really happened. Since 9/11, all the enlistees have turned over. So we have usually a 4 or 6 year enlistments, and everyone who has enlisted since 9/11 has either reenlisted, re-upped, or whatever. So all our soldiers and airmen now know and understand that, you know, they're volunteering for these overseas missions. And I think that General Taffanelli has the same thing that I do. We have a very patriotic base of young men and young women who are willing to serve, and recruiting has not been an issue. And as a matter of fact, during these times of war, as we've recruited more people, we've also raised the standards of education and skills of those recruits. So,
and you're saying it's easier to recruit now, Steve?
It has been. I mean, we have not had a problem in recruiting based on even based on higher standards. Right now in the Missouri Guard, for instance, it's not only recruiting, but it's retention. And I was just in a brief from my folks, and our retention is over 80%. So over 80% of the people who have enlisted before decide to reenlist and stay in the Guard rather than get out.
And how does that number compare to, say, 5 or 10 years ago, Steve?
Well, you know, Steve, I can't tell you where we were 5 or 10 years ago on reenlistment. I'll just say that to me, an 80% plus number is a tremendous number when we know that, you know, we have soldiers and airmen who have deployed 2, 3, 4, and some as many as 6 times.
That's amazing to me. General Taffanelli, on the Kansas side, you just heard General Danner talk about the Missouri numbers, 700 guards, members of the Guard overseas as we speak, 2,000 coming up next year. What are the numbers, comparable numbers for Kansas right now?
Well, quite honestly, Steve, we are at the lowest point that we've been since the beginning of the war, and we have just less than 100 of our soldiers and airmen that are currently deployed.
Why is that?
Well, a lot of that is based on the type of the units that they're looking for and where they fall in rotation for their next deployment. All of our units have deployed at least once, many of them 2 and 3 times. But our high point that we had in 2008, 9, and 10 really had us well over 1,000 to 1,500 mm-hmm. soldiers and airmen that were deployed at any one time.
Do you anticipate that 100 number to go up next year, as you're going to see in Missouri?
No, we'll see that number probably stay at least for the next fiscal year around 100 to maybe 250. It'll be a low point, but really allows us an opportunity to reset our force. As Steve indicated, many of our soldiers and airmen have multiple deployments. And with those multiple deployments do come some issues. And so it does allow us an opportunity to reset the force, allow us to get some of those soldiers back into some other training that they may need, work on some of the other educational things that they need, and get them ready for the next deployment.
Is your retention staying at the same 80% level that Steve Danner just described?
Yes, we find that as General Danner indicated, recruiting, we're doing very well on the recruiting front. And about half of our force, a little over half of our force, are all new since 9/11. So they know what they're signing up for, and they really want to serve. On the retention side, we normally run about 80 to 83% retention rate, which is very good. If you go back 10, 15 years ago, those numbers may have creeped, would have been a little bit lower than that. So,
you know, I guess both of you guys are surprising me here a little bit, General Danner. I would have thought that given the pressures on guards, members of the Guard and their families, given the number of overseas conflicts, given the time away from home, the time away from careers and everything else, that retention and recruitment would both be issues for you guys going forward from this point. And General Danner, you're saying that's simply not the case.
It isn't depending on the specialty, and the Army and Air Force have different acronyms for our specialties. But I'll just call it especially, you know, what you do, whether you're an engineer, an infantryman, etc. So in some of what we call low density, like in intel officers and so forth, those are tougher to recruit because those are higher standards and require higher education levels, and so those are always tough. But when you get into engineers, whether it's a vertical or horizontal engineer company or whatever, I mean, we have a very patriotic base here in the Midwest. I mean, when you talk about Missouri, Kansas, FEMA region, 7 states, I mean, just, rural America supports the military, supports the country. And so, you know, we could do a lot more recruiting if, for instance, we could go back and recruit folks that just have, well, we can bring in GEDs, but if you don't have a high school education, it's going to be very hard for us to bring you in.
So you're saying, Steve, that this is really just a matter of good old-fashioned patriotism from the heartland of America. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I talk with soldiers every day, and I know General Taffanelli does too and is out in the field, and that's what I ascribe it to. Is there is a variety of factors, but I will say patriotism and the desire to serve your state and nation is probably the top reason individuals join. Now, the other benefits, and I think specifically the educational benefits, and I'll say I'm one. I mean, I never had anybody in my family ever go to college. I would have never been able to go to school if I hadn't joined the Army as an enlisted soldier, done my time, and then come back out and gone to school on the GI Bill there at UMKC.
But do those same benefits apply to members of the Guard, Steve?
Oh, you bet. Mm-hmm. You bet. Right now, you know, we have an entry program, and I know you're going to talk with the Ierley folks, but
yeah.
Aaron, who's Ierley, that's going to that we're going to be discussing, working with, or talking about their family. He's a senior in high school at Raytown High School, and he's joined the Missouri Guard because you can join while you're in high school, and then as you stay there, you're in what we call our recruitment sustainment program. So you train at your armory while you're in high school. You're paid for it at your grade. You're building up your GI Bill benefits for whenever you're wanting to go on to college. But you stay in your local community trained. And when you get out of high school, you go on to basic and advanced individual training. And then when you come home, you've got a Missouri Guard unit you're in that you go to drill once a month and 2 weeks a year, and then by that time, you've also earned your GI Bill benefits to where you can be paid to go to college.
Hmm.
So you get your college benefit, and you get paid at the same time, and that's a great incentive and a great way to bootstrap young men and women who may not have any other way to pay for higher education.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking this morning about the National Guard in both Kansas and Missouri. If you want to join our conversation, perhaps you're a member of the Guard and can tell us about the commitment you've made and the pressures perhaps on your family if you've been deployed overseas and what that's meant for you. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, our email address, UpToDate@KCUR.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. General Taffanelli from the Kansas side, so how much of this are the benefits that Steve Danner just described? How much of it is just raw patriotism that's expressed in, by so many members of the Guard these days?
Well, certainly the patriotic aspect of it is very high in service, but I think a lot of our soldiers and airmen that join the National Guard, they want to serve their community. And they also want to serve their state and their nation. And so that unique role that the National Guard fills is part of that. And then Steve had also mentioned a little bit about the benefits. And I think a lot of our folks are looking at the educational opportunities that they provide. And that's in two forms. One, not only for the dollars to go to college, but also the technical skills and the job skills that by joining the National Guard that they are going to be trained on that they can use to further their civilian career fields. And so I think that in combination, that's really what makes the current guardsmen do what they want to do.
General Danner, we have the Ireleys on the phone with us, but before I go to them, I just wanted to ask you, Steve, as someone who has experience with this yourself, how much pressure is put on members of the Guard when they are deployed overseas? Sometimes these days, as you know better than I, 6 months at a time, 8 months at a time. What does that do to these members of the Guard, their careers, and their families?
Well, it's obviously tough. I mean, in 2005 when I went, it was an 18-month
wow.
tour that we were gone. And I'll say in all honesty, and I think most of our soldiers and airmen would say, you know, the tough part of the deployment is not on the soldier, it's on the family. Because there's so many things that either a husband or wife, whichever spouse is deployed, is doing at home and taking care of the kids and taking care of bills and just everyday living. And you take that partner out of the household, and all of a sudden, you leave all that burden on one of the spouses, and then you've really got some, you've got a lot of pressure. So,
I'm struck by this. Mm-hmm. 18 months you deploy. Did you know when you stepped into the Guard that maybe you could be looking at an 18-month deployment?
Well, I joined the Army in 1972. And then the Guard in 81. And I'll just say, no, in 81, did I think that I'd deploy for 18 months? Probably not. Did I know that at that time, if the Soviet Union came through the Fulda Gap in Europe, would I be going to war? Yes, I did. So, I mean, I knew the possibilities, even if they were small. Now, that's the point I tried to make for everyone who has joined after 9/11. For those that have enlisted since 2001, they're almost guaranteed that they're going to deploy overseas somewhere at some time. Now, that is different than it was back in the 70s or 80s. But again, as we've discussed and as General Taffanelli mentioned, I mean, we're not having real recruiting problems, because of that.
Yeah. I want to bring Damon Ireley into our conversation. He's a Sergeant First Class with the Missouri National Guard. He's deployed overseas a couple of times, including to Iraq. His oldest son is in the Army Reserves in Belton, and he's also deployed. He has another son who just enlisted in the National Guard. Sergeant First Class Ireley, so good to have you. Good morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
You've deployed a couple of times, Damon. Where were you deployed and for how long were you gone?
Well, I just really did the 15-month deployment in both Kuwait and Iraq. I spent like 6 or 7 months in Kuwait and the rest of the time in Iraq. So it was really just one deployment.
And how did that go for you?
Well, for me, it was fine. I didn't mind being in the military. I enjoy it, actually. It's a good thing to do. But it was very hard on my family. And peers of mine in the Guard that were over there with me, I know they had a tremendous amount of trouble with their spouses at home.
How did your wife manage the home front during that time, and how many kids were you all dealing with?
Well, we have 5 children, and
my goodness,
how she dealt with it, I don't know. She's a superhuman.
5 kids—that's a lot, Damon.
Yeah.
Age range is what? At least when you were gone.
At that time, it was high school, which is Adam. And all the way to elementary school.
Yeah. How did she manage? What's your sense of that?
Well, she's a strong woman. I mean, she has born 5 children. And like the general was saying earlier, a lot of the reasons that people get into the military are patriotic. And she felt that what I was doing was the right thing for our country. And so she was supportive of it. It kind of, guess I made it a little easier.
Let's bring on an eyewitness account of how your wife handled all this with Adam Ireley, who joins us now from Rolla. And Adam, you're in the Army Reserves. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How did your mom handle your father's 15-month deployment here?
Well, as my dad was saying, she's got her stuff all lined up. I mean, she's been taking care of us for so long that it wasn't really a big change. My dad used to travel a lot with work, and so I think she was used to at that point dealing without him constantly being there. But yeah, obviously it was hard on her, put a little more stress on the family. But
how was it for you, Adam, having your dad gone for that many months, a year and a few months?
I took it bad at first, but I don't know. I got his truck while he was gone, so that was nice.
There was a fringe benefit here, right?
Yeah.
You said that you took it bad at first, Adam. How so? What was that like for you?
I just remember when he was leaving for the airport, I was it just dawned on me. It's like, you know, he's not going to be back for over a year. And, I broke down a little bit. I was in high school at the time, and it was just tough seeing him go.
So you knew at the time, Adam, that your dad was going away for quite a long time.
Right.
Damon, what was that like for you, saying goodbye to your family for that many months?
Obviously, it's an emotional heartstring. It's ripping your heart out. I missed over a year of my children's lives. That's something they'll never be able to recover from. But it could have been worse.
Hmm. Let's bring Lee Taffanelli back into our conversation. He's the adjutant general from Kansas. Talk to me a little bit about what you've seen in terms of the impact on families, Lee, over the years you've been associated with the Guard and some of these pressures that we're talking about here.
Well, certainly, Steve. I think that the accumulative effect of the deployments do have an impact on families. And as others have indicated, that it's really difficult for the family, and they probably have it the toughest, because the soldiers are focused on their mission, and they've been trained, and they know what they've got to do, and they're dealing with it every day.
They're busy. They're preoccupied.
They're busy. They're focused. But on the family side, the remaining spouse and the children have to pick up all the pieces from that deployment, and they've got the added part of that is to worry about what might be happening, half a world away. And so, but our families have done a phenomenal job in dealing with it. And really, since we've started this this conflict, we've gotten much, much better with family support services that provide assistance and support to the families.
Yeah.
So that while their soldiers are deployed, that they've got that safety network in place.
That's improved a lot over the years, it sounds like.
Each year we get better at that. As we learn more and more about what the needs are and how we can shift and adjust programs. And really, I think we do a very, very good job at trying to meet those needs of the families while their servicemen and women are deployed.
You know, General Steve Danner from the Missouri side, he heads the Missouri National Guard. I'm so glad we're having this conversation, Steve, because I'm wondering what your viewpoint of this is, that so many times, so many of us, Americans writ large here, tend to forget just what kind of pressure, what kind of sacrifice that members of the Guard are making every day for this country.
Oh, absolutely, Steve. And I'll tell you, again, I can't say enough good things about our men and women in uniform. But let me tell you, in my opinion, the real heroes that the country needs to recognize are the spouses and those on the home front, like Nancy Ierley, who's raised five children, who has a husband at war, has to take care of everything with the kids, has to take care of everything at the home, etc., and it's all on her shoulders to make it happen. Those are the folks that we as a nation owe the largest debt of gratitude in my mind. And then as an adjutant general, and I know that General Taffanelli has some great programs over in Kansas help families in what we call a resilience effort. And we have gotten better over the years. You know, when I came back in 2005, it was basically, you spent a week in this case, I spent a week at Fort Riley. They said, are you okay? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, hey, you're going home. And that was it. Now we have regular resilience programs like the Yellow Ribbon programs that we do here in Missouri on the 45th and the 90th day, where we bring the families in for a weekend and work with them on whatever issues that they might have with their children's. We provide resources. We have a jobs training program here in Missouri. It's something that Governor Nixon started called the Show Me Heroes program, where we work really hard on making sure that our veterans are employed. And right now we've put more than 2,000 Missouri Guardsmen and other veterans, because we provide this program. Even though the Missouri Guard runs that program, we work it for all the services, and we've had 2,000 jobs created out of that for our veterans to help families.
Yeah.
So we do that. And you may recall when Dr. Jill Biden, well, both of First Lady Michelle Obama has come to Kansas City, and Dr. Jill Biden came to visit us there at Park University here earlier this year to recognize Missouri's family programs as some of the top in the nation.
Yeah. Sergeant First Class Damon Ierley, tell me from your standpoint, how adequate are these support programs that we're talking about here? Were they enough for you and your family?
Well, my deployment was back in 05 as well, and I kind of had the, you know, thanks for your service pat on the back when I left, too. But I will say this, the Army has always been a second family to me, and that's one of the things that that I, you know, I had peers, you know, while I was in Iraq. My best friend was in the Kansas Guard, coincidentally, and you know, we had each other to lean on, which... it has always been beneficial, so I haven't necessarily had the opportunity to enjoy some of the programs that they have in place now.
Mm-hmm.
But I survived just fine.
Hey, how did you stay in touch with your family, Damon?
We were almost daily allowed either phone communication or computer communication.
And how is that? Because I can imagine that many times that's comforting. But at other times, if there are issues on the home front, that can be troubling as well.
Well, and yes, that's definitely the case. I know one of my roommates over there, it was almost always torture for him to go communicate with his spouse.
Mm.
They'd fight a lot just because of the separation. But I myself, I was kind of a surreal environment to be able to be, you know, in a tent in Iraq talking with my wife at home in the living room.
How did all this affect your job, Damon, when you came back? You were gone for a number of months. Was your job still waiting for you?
My job was still waiting for me. And you know, the people I work with were always very supportive. You know, it's you know, get a lot of, you know, thanks for your service. We really appreciate what you did. It's all, the general population out there has been very supportive of us.
Adam Ierley, give me a sense of the pay and the benefits from being in the Army Reserves. How does it work for you?
Like my father, I drill once a month, and every year I usually go on a 2-week training, so I get paid through that. And then right now I'm in school, so I'm using a lot of the educational benefits to pay for school.
So it's working out for you pretty well, it sounds like.
Yes, yes, I'm doing pretty well.
Well, Damon Ierley, Adam Ierley, thank you both for your service, and thank you for joining us this morning. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here about the National Guard at both Kansas and Missouri. We'll talk to one other family about their experience with a long deployment. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed yesterday's conversations about the so-called milk and cookies disease and about living off the grid in the Flint Hills, you can find those and all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. On tomorrow's program, we'll look at your food's journey from field to table through the lens of one journalist's undercover work as a harvest worker, produce clerk, and kitchen worker. Also, we'll have our weekend to-do list. And coming up later on this hour, we'll talk about breaking news. Mayor Joe Reardon of Wyandotte County not seeking a third term. We'll also have our latest installment of our ongoing series, 90 Mile View. This hour, we're also talking about the National Guard in both Kansas and Missouri. We're visiting with the two adjutant generals from Missouri and Kansas from Missouri, Major General Steve Danner from Kansas, Major General Lee Taffanellian. Lee, remind us how many members of the Guard there are in Kansas overall these days. I'll get a similar number from Steve here.
Okay, on the Army side, we have approximately 5,200 soldiers.
Wow.
And on the Air Guard side, we have approximately 2,300 airmen.
So more than 7,000 members of the Kansas Guard then?
Yes, there is.
How about General Danner? How about on the Missouri side?
Well, we have a little over 11,500. About 2,500 are Air Guard in our wing at 139th Airlift Wing in St. Joseph and 131st Bomb Wing at Whiteman and then also in Jefferson Barracks, and then the remainder over 9,000 Army Guard.
General Danner, are those numbers for Missouri and then Lee for Kansas, are those numbers high compared to other states, you know, in a per capita basis, or do you have a sense of that?
Well, all the states contribute, I think, you know, proportionally very well, irrespective of their size. I think that there are a stronger guards proportionally in more of the southern states than otherwise, but we have the guards divided up in A, B, C, D states, etc. Missouri falls in the C. We're one of the larger 15 or so states, you know, for the guard. But everyone concentrates, and I'll just say whether you're a large state or a territory or whatever, proportionally, everyone gives.
So Missouri's in the top 15, you're saying, in terms of overall membership, Steve?
I believe that's right. I'd have to take a look at all the others, but we are what we call a C state, which provides us with more headquarters units, et cetera, because of the size of being over 9,000 on the Army side.
General Taffanelli, how about Kansas?
Kansas is more on right on the line of the mid-sized states to small, right on that line there. So,
who determines, Lee, where any member of the Guard is deployed? How is that decided?
That's primarily decided by the unit that they are in and based on where their wartime requirements going to bring them in terms of whether the requirement is to support operations in Afghanistan or Iraq or other parts of the globe. Based on where those requirements are, where their unit falls in for that particular rotation is really what determines where they're going to go. We do try to keep unit integrity so that we deploy our soldiers and airmen as units. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes they're deployed as individual members, but for the most part, they deploy as units.
I want to bring into our conversation now Teresa Schmidt. She's the wife of Colonel Rob Schmidt of the Kansas Guard. He's been in Kansas, the Kansas Guard, for nearly 20 years. He's deployed to Iraq and Bosnia. They live in Kansas City. And Teresa, so nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Teresa, you've done this with three kids. In fact, when your husband was in Bosnia, your kids were ages 13, 10, and 5. I'm only guessing that was a pretty mighty challenge. Tell us about it.
At the time, I worked only part-time, and so it was – I have family local, and it was – they're old enough to understand because they were in school quarters, and so we just – you know, we took it quarter by quarter, summer break, Christmas break, and it worked for them. You know, they can understand Dad being gone.
How tough was it for you, Teresa?
That one was, it was, I won't say it was a walk in the park, but it wasn't horrible. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had enough of a support around me that I could, when I needed to take a break, step back.
We were talking in our first half a little bit about the support system that's in place from the Guard these days, how improved it is compared to, you know, 10, 15 years ago. What's your sense of it?
It's greatly improved. My first, his first deployment in 91, I had zero support. This last one in 2009, total difference. You know, we were doing monthly checks, you know, on people. There were programs in place if you needed help with a child or you didn't know how to fix something. So you didn't have to always go running to your spouse and going, honey, the car broke down. What do I do?
Yeah.
So we were able to let the soldier do their job.
Hey, how did your kids handle it too, Teresa?
Like the one gentleman said, acted out a little in the beginning, especially the youngest. Little grade dropped, and then it was a kick in the pants going, guys, this dad, you know, dad email or call or Skype, and you'd go, excuse me, grades? And they're like, oh, yeah. And, you know, so that was, you know, it was like, so we were able to communicate, and even though we didn't, you know, I handled most of the day-to-day problems. And they were like, occasionally they'd go, oh, I miss that. It's like, yeah, we all do. You know, go downstairs, email your dad. You know, there is no reason for you not to communicate with your dad at all.
But it's different, though.
Yeah, it was a different time, though. I do remember one child going, dear dad, I got in trouble at school today. And 2 minutes later, dad goes, what did you do? So, you know, we tried to keep the day-to-day stuff. You know, a little—I won't say light and airy for him, but keep the major stuff away so that he could concentrate on what he did. And the kids were—they were happy with that.
Teresa, why does your husband, Colonel Rob Schmidt, why does he stay in the Guard? What's been the appeal for him?
His sense of honor and duty. Seriously.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Honor and duty. He feels an honor and duty to his country.
That simple.
Yep.
And for you guys, Skype worked out pretty well.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
The kids would walk by and say, hi, Dad, and just kind of go on and meander. And, you know, it was, there's something different about communicating with someone when you can see their face.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Teresa, thank you for your time today. And by all means, thanks for the sacrifices you've made on behalf of the Guard and for all of us. We appreciate it very much.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet, Teresa. That's Teresa Schmidt. And gentlemen, we're out of time, but I really want to thank both of you for coming in today and sharing, giving us updates on the National Guard in both Missouri and Kansas. That's Major General Steve Danner from the Missouri side and Major General Lee Taffanelli from the Kansas side. Thank you both very much, and best of luck to both of you.
Thank you very much, Steve.
You bet.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. It's been great being with you.
You bet, Steve. All the best.